Come on, let's get our Bibles open tonight. We're going to continue in the series on healing examples. We've been looking at a lot of different New Testament examples of healing, and this is number 15 in this series. So open up to Matthew 12. We're going to look again at the man with the withered hand. And last week we kind of stopped short. We were talking about the Sabbath and how the Pharisees were making a big deal out of the Sabbath, and you can't do anything on the Sabbath, you know. And it I call the Pharisees, when I read it in the Word, they're like the paparazzi. They're always watching and trying to catch somebody and catch Jesus, it was, and his disciples in something that they could condemn him over. They were just always looking for an issue with Christ. And so they thought they found one in chapter 12. And the title of the message tonight is No Cruelty in God. No Cruelty in God. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 1 reads this way. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, there they are again, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, wasn't it Abiathar, the high priest, and he did eat the showbread. There's some folks have said, well, there's a contradiction there, because it said that David went by himself, and another version had said, how David went with his men and went into the house of Abiathar. Well, you read that the men, when you go back in the Old Testament, were in another location right nearby, okay? So there's not really a contradiction. The fact of the matter is, when a man who was in authority went somewhere, he could say, me and my men, as the leader, they were just in another locale, but they were with him on the journey. So when folks have tried to point that out, and one guy wrote a book, and he's like, I caught Jesus in a lie. I'm like, well, I'd watch myself, buddy. You know, he's the truth. You're the one who's deceived. So well, there's so many smart alecks running around. You know that? There really are. That think they're smarter than God. That's a danger. When you start thinking you're smarter than God, look out. And every time you do something that's contrary to the Scriptures, it's really ultimately what you're doing. You're saying, I know a better way. I don't have to do what you said I should do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's very dangerous. Can I hear an amen? Okay, so he said, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Now, you see, the Pharisees didn't understand this, and so they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about right here. And really, in essence, you and I have come upon that stuff in the Word where we don't understand something, but I'll tell you a key to the whole thing. Just keep your heart right before the Lord. If you keep your heart right before the Lord, he can bring the revelation to you on whatever it is he's trying to get across to you. Amen. So they didn't obviously do that. They hated Jesus, and they were just looking for a chink in his armor and something in some way that they could condemn him. After this incident with the healing of the man with the withered hand, you know, you'll find the Word says that they sought to destroy him in verse 14. He healed somebody, and they want to kill him because he healed somebody. It's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. Verse number 5, look at this. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and yet they're blameless? It's there. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So what it's saying in verse 7 If you'll see that, look at that verse again. If you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. He's literally saying that the Lord, the Father, places mercy or kindness above keeping a rule. The Bible says God is love. It doesn't say God is rules or a rule. You know, he has given us rules. He didn't make us and create us to keep a set of rules. But he gave us a set of truths or rules, if you will, that we find in the Word of God that would help us. Okay? And so for a person to think that, well, it's all about just obeying the rules, hey, those were there as a guideline for us. And people figured out pretty quick that they couldn't keep all those rules. And so, you know, I mean, it was there for the benefit of the people. And what it did is it showed them that they had a need for a Savior. And that holds to this day. And so many people don't understand that, and they get discouraged when they fall. And they're like, well, I try to be a good person. Are you going to go to heaven when you die one day? Well, I'm a good guy. Well, being a good guy doesn't cut it. You know, you can try to keep all the rules you want. You need to be washed in life. You need to have life imparted into your dead spirit, man. Before you knew Christ, your spirit was dead. It was dark before God. The presence of God did not abide there. And the scripture said that when you received Jesus Christ, there was an exchange that took place. You entered into the covenant that Jesus cut with the Father, and you entered into it by faith. That's what diatheke is all about. That's a Greek word for covenant. That you accepted what was done. You literally accepted the package deal that contained not only salvation eternity, salvation that you would be able to spend eternity with God. Also in that was healing for your physical body, provision for you. Don't balk at healing and provision because some people try to abuse it. And some people make priorities in their life to try to have more things. It's not about having things. It's not about, you know, some are on the health kick. That's kind of the other side of it. You have those that talk about prosperity all the time, and all they want to ever do is talk about prosperity and getting more and having more, and they're greedy little jokers or what they are. But then you have a set of people that walk around, act like they're better than everybody because they're health nuts. And they're not just health nuts, you're nuts. And you walk around acting like you're superior to people because, you know, you eat this or you jog this far or you do this, that, and that's all good stuff, but let's not exalt it above living for the Lord. I mean, I exercise too. I eat good things too. I take vitamins too, but Christ is my life, not running or playing tennis or, you know, eating healthy foods or taking vitamins. I mean, Christ is my life. So remember, all the glory has to go back to him all the time. Amen. But here you go. And I'm not talking down about eating right and exercise. You know, you hear what I'm saying. But keep it all in perspective. Praise God. Look at verse number 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might, oh, look at this, accuse him? See here? They're looking for something to accuse him over. Over here, they were trying to accuse him about breaking the law because the disciples ate some corn or wheat. And so Jesus kind of turns the table on them right here in verse number 11. He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Now, see, they knew in their hearts, and when he asked the question, that they would rescue their animal. If their animal was caught in a ditch or their animal had fallen ill on the Sabbath day, they would do everything they could to heal and to see to it that that animal was cared for. Can I hear an amen? It's true. Sure they did. But they also knew that if we answered it that way, how Christ would turn it. See? And so they kept their silence. But in their silence was their guilt. Amen. So Are you not going to deal with it if it falls into the pit? You know, their response would also answer if a person should be rescued or healed on the Sabbath. If you're going to do it for an animal, would you not do it for a person? That normally would be the understanding and the next step that a person would take in their thoughts. Well, I mean, gosh, if I'm going to take care of my cat or my dog or, you know, my rabbit, whatever the animal is that you have, or your cattle, whatever it may be. If you're going to do that on that day, and then you're going to come along and say we can't help a human on that day? Are you kidding me? But yet there are millions of people, and there are churches that preach it like it's the word of God, that sometimes it's not God's will to heal. Sometimes it's not God's will that you walk in divine health. Sometimes the Lord is the one that, you know, he put that on you for some reason. And yet those same people wouldn't think twice. They wouldn't even stop and pray and ask God if they ought to tend to their sick cat or not. They wouldn't stop for a second to help a dog if the dog were caught and the chain wrapped around its neck. Have you ever seen that happen to an animal? Sure you have. Where they, you know, wrap themselves and tie themselves up tight and they can't move. And they're not smart enough to figure out how they have to backtrack to get out of it. But yet, people will step in and help an animal and do all they can and would not even for one moment pray and say, well, Lord, is it your will that I help that animal that's caught in that predicament? Never. They don't ask that. That's why there's such a blatant difference. You know, there are folks that will save the whales, save the wolves, the crabs, what else, you know, the trees. But if you want to kill a baby, that's perfectly fine. That's such trash. That line of reasoning is so inconsistent. Not only that, it's terribly wrong. So they never stop and pray and try to determine if it's God's will to heal their pet, yet they get into church and suddenly it's like, well, maybe the Lord has a reason for you staying sick right now. Maybe it's not God's will right now, you know? But yet with our pets, we're more kind to our pets than we, let's not say we, because we don't preach that garbage. That's devilish doctrine. That's wrong. We do not say that, you know, God chooses at times not to heal people. That is not the Bible. He has already provided, I just mentioned it to you, diatheke, in that covenant that Christ cut with the Father, you and I simply can accept or reject what he has already taken care of. The price has been paid. The package deal is before you. Accept or reject. You will not make the covenant good by accepting it. You do not make the covenant good by accepting Jesus. That covenant's already good. All you can do is accept it or reject it. Now, you're foolish if you reject it. Okay? So what's in that covenant? There's a lot in that covenant that we need to grab a hold of by faith. And I've got news for you. God's not broke, and God doesn't have just a certain amount of healing that he can provide. You don't have to say, well, you know, I could never, I'll be humble, when in fact you're really being foolish when you say, well, I can put up with this. I don't need to get healed of that. Or, I'm not going to try to believe God for an increase in our finances because, after all, I don't want to become wicked. Are you just going to stay foolish? God wants to increase you. There's plenty to go around. Amen. Do you know there's enough money in the world, just in the natural, for every man, woman, boy, and girl to have $1 million each and there'd still be some left over? But about 90, 92% of the world's wealth is controlled by about 10% of the people. And all the rest, that other, 90% of the people out there are living on what's left over. You've got some people that have billions and billions of dollars and others that cannot pay their rent. You know, some don't eat. It's bad. It's not the way it's supposed to be. God wants to meet your needs. But as long as people get into this, well, I don't know. Well, then you get what you believe for. Can I hear an amen? It's the truth. Might as well get in there and believe God. He's got plenty to take care of you. Amen. Again, I think sometimes people think God gets some kind of weird pleasure out of seeing people suffer. God is not into his people suffering. I was reading this morning, Brother Hagin was talking about it in the book I was reading, and about how people talk about, you know, how Christians are supposed to go, Christians are going to suffer with Christ. Well, what kind of suffering does a Christian do in their lives? Huh? Are you supposed to suffer with sickness and disease? No, Christ already bore that. Are you supposed to suffer with poverty? No, he already bore that. He's taken care of things, okay? But the fact of the matter is the suffering that you and I are going to walk in is in regard to persecution. So like it or not, Christ was persecuted for what he said and his actions. He was persecuted. He overcame all of that. Paul was persecuted. He said, the persecutions that came to me, all the afflictions, I overcame them all in and through Christ. You're going to be persecuted. The godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, will suffer persecution. I don't like to hear that. I'm more than a conqueror. I get it. Yes. When the persecution comes, it doesn't have to defeat you, but just understand the devil hates your guts. And the people that serve the devil don't like you either. Have you figured that out? Yeah, we have, Pastor. Well, amen. And just keep walking. Let the light of Christ shine in you. You know, the Bible speaks about when Christ would, he said to turn the other cheek. You remember that? Well, I want to tell you this. You can get to the point in your life where you turn the other cheek and a person says something, you turn the other cheek, and literally in Hebrew what's brought out there is that they'll swing or that they'll take a shot at you and they won't be able to hit you. So in that attitude of being godly, it's like when Christ, they took him to the brow of the hill and they were going to throw him off the hill that he created. And he turned around and walked back through the midst of them. What was that? That was an actual display of turning the other cheek in the respect of the power of God is going to stop people. He is still your protector. He's going to protect you. Do you hear me? No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You wrap yourself in that. You wrap yourself in the armor of light. And you realize, hey, I have covenant rights. Nobody's going to take me out. Nobody's going to be successful in their persecution attempts toward me. Oh, they may say nasty things. They may try, but they will not be successful. You know, that pastor up in Canada that was arrested on Sunday after the service, those folks are in for a rude awakening in Canada, the police. Do you hear me? You don't do that to a man of God. Oh, Pastor, you know, that's just the way it goes. Yeah, and you start listening to those weak-kneed pacifists out there that want to say, you know, you're supposed to let the government run roughshod all over you. No, hold it a minute. Hold it. The greater one, the creator of the universe lives in me. I have favor. I got a report tonight. I've been believing God for something, and I got a report tonight that everything was taken care of. Okay? That's a victory, and I'll give more details maybe on Sunday, but yeah. You hold your line. You hold fast. The power of God will work on your behalf. I'm believing for Pastor Arturo Palos. It's a long name. Pawlowski, Pawlowski, I think it was something like that. He's a word guy, and he's standing and believing God. Those people treated him like the devil. They hate Jesus Christ. Obviously, the ones that did the arresting and did the incarceration the way they treated him, they won't get away with it. Mm-mm. God's looking. God sees. God sees what happened. Lord knows. I wouldn't want to be in those shoes. So here, let's look at this a little bit more, and we'll bring it all to a conclusion. So God does not get any enjoyment out of seeing his children suffer, period. All right? Go back to Numbers 22. I want to show you something in the Word. Do you remember Balaam? And Balaam had a donkey. Balaam's donkey, you remember the story. He was going to go and curse Israel, and the Balak had approached him on occasion and offered him a huge sum of money if he'd do it. And so Balaam gets on his donkey and is riding in a direction to do something God told him not to do, go to a place God told him not to go to. And along the way, what happened? It's all there in Numbers 22. Along the way, the donkey stops, and Balaam gets mad because the donkey won't go, and he starts beating the donkey, right? And then what happens? What was the reason that the donkey stopped? The angel of the Lord appeared. The donkey saw it. Balaam didn't. And the angel of the Lord is standing there with a sword in his hand. So Balaam tries another route, and the donkey stops again because there's the angel of the Lord. And he starts beating the donkey, and the donkey kind of rears back or what have you and pushed him and trapped his foot against a wall, like a stone, evidently a stone wall, fence, whatever, in this area. And he beat the donkey some more. And I'll tell you something. People that beat animals, that's sin. And before God, that's wrong. I don't care how mad they make you. The scripture does not condone cruelty to animals. Do you hear me? And I'll tell you another thing. Neither do the laws of this land. You can go to prison a long time. Did you know that somebody in Oklahoma City, and the guy said he accidentally, he didn't even see it, ran over a turtle, and they were trying to put him in jail for 25 years for running over a turtle? Now, okay, look. That's a little bit excessive, yeah? And it didn't happen, but you know, that's some of those, I suppose, you've got the other side of it, you know, the tree huggers and the save the whales, save the wolves, save the dolphins and people who actually are more concerned about animals than they are humans. Now, I don't like to see a turtle run over. I do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen. I'll stop and make sure I'm not going to cause an accident and get out and get them off the road too. Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, me too. It's called kindness. It's called mercy. If you were crawling along out there on the road, here comes a truck, oh no, and you duck your head in and boom, you know, it blows by you and somebody could stop and pick you up, you'd want that, right? Well, here's a donkey being beaten by this guy who's in disobedience to God, right? He's in disobedience. He beats the donkey. So what happens though? The donkey talks in a man's voice. And what's interesting is Balaam just responds to him like this is just normal. Did you read it? You know, you can go, you read this thing, and it's like the donkey says, "Haven't I been a good donkey? Have I ever done this before?" Well, and he's carrying on a conversation with the donkey. Amen. So he had, you know, and why are you beating me? And anyway, so in look in Numbers 22, look at verse 32. So Balaam's eyes were opened in verse 31, and now he sees why the donkey stopped. And look at verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass or donkey these three times?" Who brought up the beating of the donkey? Who? The angel of the Lord, right? So I'm going to tell you something right now. For him to bring it up means it's not right to be doing that. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, cruelty to animals is not acceptable. "Well, it just made me so mad I kicked that cat." Don't be doing that. The scripture has something to say about kicking cats too, actually, if you really want to know. Mm-hmm. So the angel of the Lord brought it up about beating the donkey. "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, the donkey saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now
also I had slain thee and saved her alive. In other words, I would have killed you and let the donkey live. How do you like that? Here's a man disobeying God and then taking out the donkey saved his life, and he's too stupid to know it. Animals are wonderful creatures. God created animals, and they're not for us to, you know, treat cruelly. But here's the whole thing about it. The Bible says that, yes, God cares about animals, and we should care about animals. But he also says that we're better than animals. In fact, he says, and Jesus said it in Matthew 10, what, verse 31? That we are better than many sparrows. Takes a whole lot of sparrows to make a man, right? You're better than many sparrows. In God's eyes, you're better than animals, okay? But for that person then to turn around and say, you know, we're going to not mistreat the animal, but maybe it's not God's will to heal this time. They have put their attitude of, we love animals, but maybe God doesn't love his people as much as we love the animals. That's the way people are doing it today. You need to be very, very careful of that. God loves you. God loves animals. But he loves you more than he loves animals. Amen. So it's important. It's important to keep that perspective. But for folks to turn that around and try to make it like, well, you know, the Lord, sometimes he doesn't want to heal folks. Sometimes it's just his will that you hang on to that sickness for a while to teach you something. Mm-mm. That is a foolish argument. That is an inconsistent argument. It's terribly wrong. Now, jump back to Matthew 12, and we will wrap this thing up. Matthew 12. So the comparison between the animal and the treatment of an animal and the treatment of a human being, the Pharisees were saying you shouldn't heal. In other words, hey, it shouldn't happen today. They were more concerned with law, with rule, than they were with being merciful. It's always lawful to show mercy. That's the character of God. And in chapter 12, again, look at verse 10. Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? Well, God's character is to make things right, amen, in a person who has things that are not right in their physical body or in their thoughts, or of course in their spirit. I mean, he provided salvation. Verse 11, he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful. It is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Yeah, the Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment in James chapter 2, verse 13. I think a lot of people misunderstand judgment. And they think God is in the heavens with a huge hammer, and he's just waiting to put one down on people. He's waiting to smack them with his judgment. And that is a lie. That's not true. There is such a thing as judgment. Absolutely there is. To say there's not would be false. There is judgment. But I'll tell you, the Bible tells us, and Jesus said it himself, if you judge not, you'll not be judged. I'll tell you, the judgment happened over man's state of not being in fellowship with God. The judgment fell upon Christ when he was on the cross. So mercy has now triumphed over judgment. You allow yourself to be wrapped in the arms of mercy, in line with what the covenant has already produced for you. My goodness sakes. This business about people saying, you know, and there's a lot of judgment preaching going on. God is judging America with all of this stuff going on. That's a lie. Do you hear me? God's not the one causing the problems in this country. People make stupid choices, and there's a result for the choices or a consequence for choices that people make. And people will lay AIDS off as, that's a judgment of God. It's not true. That's the result of people entering into homosexual relationships or lesbian relationships. I mean, this AIDS thing is, it's a horrible deal. But don't blame God for it. Don't blame God for it. Yeah, well, America's killed all these babies. I understand. That's a horrible thing too. Do you think for one moment that you and I who stand for life are going to be judged regarding something that devilish people are standing up for? I'm not going to be judged for that. Now, if I don't say something when I should say something, it could produce a bad result in my life, but it's still not God doing it. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Remember that. A sin of omission would be to not say something when you should say something, and the result of judgment could fall upon you for not standing up for what is right. But still, is it God? Well, it's just like when the death angel went through in Exodus chapter 12. You know, folks are like, hey, wait a minute. If the blood stopped the death angel, that's not the blood stopping God. Do you hear me? That was judgment over the land of Egypt. God's not fighting God. God didn't say, put the blood on the doorposts and all that and stay in your house and do these things. I'm telling you, when the death angel comes over, you know, you'll be safe. That's not because, you know, God's coming through the land to kill. There's one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that doesn't change from the Old Testament to the New. And you can't forget that, because in this judgment preaching, people start acting like God's the one doing all this stuff. And he's not. People have to answer for the choices that they make. America has made some terrible choices as a nation, but you notice who's insulated and isolated from it? The remnant that are standing and believing and walking in faith. Through this whole 8 years that we had with a president that was pushing the gay agenda and pushing for the marriage between men and men and all this garbage that went on back, not this last president, our the best one we've ever had, but the one before that. You know, we prospered during that time. We built a house and a new building over there during that time. God blessed us during that time, regardless of what was going on in Washington. I want to tell you something. You can walk isolated from things that are happening if you'll hold fast to the word. Man, I get fired up about that, because people are blaming God for stuff God's not doing. Yeah, but so-and-so said it. I don't care what so-and-so said. What did he say? And if you don't read the word with the mindset that he doesn't change, he didn't change from Old Testament to New, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, you got to understand, he's a God that loves people. Judgment is a bad thing that happens when people walk away and turn their back on God. It happened to Israel. It's happened to people within the body of Christ, and say, well, you know, God did that. God didn't do it. No, don't go down that road of blaming God for stuff the devil's doing. Let's quickly wrap this up. I want to show you something about this man with the withered hand that I want you to, you need to see this. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Verse 12, wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Verse 13, then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, stretch forth your arm. Look at your Bibles. Did it say, stretch forth your arm? Did he say, stretch out your arm? He said, stretch forth your hand. One other version, or a few different versions, read that hand was shriveled, perhaps deformed, but basically unusable. Stretch forth your hand. The man stretched forth, and he stretched it forth, the latter part of verse 13, and it was restored whole like as the other. Stretch your hand out. Stretch your hand out. I'll guarantee you, he was walking around with a hand that was like this. And he couldn't do this. This is stretching your hand forth. This is stretching your arm forth. He said, stretch your hand. Stretch forth thine hand. He had a deformed hand. He had a sheep that had one of its hooves was messed up, and he cared enough about the sheep that he wanted to heal the hoof. Yeah, he cared about the animals. Sure he does. He cares about his people more than he does any animals. But the stretch forth your hand, and it was in the stretching forth of the hand. He didn't go, well, heal me, and then I'll stretch it forth. That's not the way it worked. stretch forth your hand. Don't you suppose the guy could have lived with a hand like this? I mean, if it was all twisted up, don't you suppose he could live like that? He had another one he could use, you know? But he had this thing going on. But Jesus loved him so much that he wanted that taken care of. But it was the stretch forth your hand. Did he have faith to do it? Obviously, he did. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. That rhema word from God came, stretch forth your hand. Jesus didn't say, try it. Stretch forth your hand. The guy just, and there it was. The healing manifested as he obeyed the rhema word in verse 13 from the Lord. Stretched it forth, it was restored whole like as the other. That act of faith triggered the anointing that caused the healing in the man's body. Can I hear an amen? It didn't say, and you've read that many times. I know you have. All of us have. It didn't say, stretch forth your arm. How many of y'all read it that way, stretch forth your arm? Come on, be honest. You know you did. Everybody does. But it clearly says hand. And the hand, when you know what the translations say, was withered up, deformed, twisted, unusable. And when he said, stretch it forth, he just, I'm sure he looked at it, but in a moment's time, he just did what Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And when he did, the anointing just healed him right there on the spot. That's a wonderful, wonderful story. It also shows God's willingness to heal his people. Can I hear an amen? I hope you got something out of that. Good, stand to your feet. Praise God. That's an act of faith. When you've been seated for a long time, your legs are locked. Stand to your feet. Brother, praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. And give you glory tonight for your power flowing in us and through us. We thank you for the word that's been sown in our hearts. We thank you and give you glory, Lord God, for all the good things that you have done in us and through us. And what we see in Christ doing for the people of God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for it. We believe and trust that your word is truth. It is the truth. You are the truth, Lord God. You are, hallelujah, our life, and we bless you and thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you for favor in our lives. We bless you, sir. We give you glory. Can you say amen to that?